Grace to you and peace from God our Creator, from Jesus our Savior, and the Holy Spirit who is at work among us this day. Amen. We are continuing our five-part sermon series on our core values, core practices, core commitments. It's important to me that we use that language because I don't want us to ever think that we have these things figured out. I also want us to give ourselves and our community grace to continue learning and trying, growing, and being. And so as we talk about it, yes, these are the things that are important to us. We are committed to seeking them out, and we're practicing every day, every time that we come as people of faith. Today, we're talking about passionate worship. But first, a story or two. I went to Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary in Berkeley, California, for my education to become a pastor. I think, to my knowledge, that I'm the only Lutheran pastor in South Dakota who graduated from there. Paul is saying, yeah. I think so. It is a bit of a strange thing. And there are pros and cons to every place to go to school, just as there is at every other level of schooling. For me, the greatest pro of going to Berkeley was that at the time, it was part of the largest religious consortium in the world. That meant there were 11 seminaries that shared the same campus, right? So group of seminaries there. So my degree is exactly 50% from the Lutheran seminary and 50% from all of the others. Again, pros and cons to all of that. But I took classes from the three different kinds of Catholics that were there, from the Baptists and the Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Muslims, the Jews, the Episcopalians, and even the UCC. And I say even, they're some of our closest ecumenical partners, but for me, those were some of the hardest classes. One I took was a J-term class. You guys know the rhythm of fall semester, January term, and then spring semester. January, you go deep into a class, right? 4 hours a day or more, plus reading and homework. I took, in the January of my second year in school, a class called Drama in Worship. Cool class, and I love thinking about Scripture in that way. Essentially, what we did was study Scripture deeply and think about how it looked, how it sounded to the first people who experienced it, and then how we can share that with our congregations and with the communities that we're a part of. So every day, different chunks of us were asked to perform something that brought drama to worship related to our Scriptures. I had two negative experiences in those 30 days. Great experiences, 28 days of great experiences. One, a thing you'll never see me do at Spirit of Joy, involved liturgical dancing. Can you imagine me? We were in the chapel of the UCC Seminary, a gorgeous 100-year-old Spanish mission-style worship space with this polished stone floor. And they gave me a 20-foot-long piece of silk. Can you see it? Green. And I was twirling and whirling and dancing. 17 years later, I don't quite have that mobility. Until I stepped on that silk. And on that polished floor, what did I do? I went down hard. I went straight down onto my knee in a way that it split. Wide open, several inches, so that I required stitches directly over the top of my kneecap. Thankfully, didn't break the kneecap, didn't have other things. But it made acting and being in that class a little bit tough in the weeks to come. Then, on the very last day of class for my final, I had chosen a partner, and we had worked up the Samaritan woman at the well. She and I, Jesus and the woman, thinking about what it might have been like for them to be together in this space. And we started me sitting down in a chair with my back to her. And those of you who know the Greek, you know it's only three words, right? There is no please or thank you. All Jesus says to her is, give me drink. To me, that sounds like Neanderthal, right? To me, it sounds like a Jewish man of privilege speaking to a Samaritan woman who's beneath him. And so I said, with my back turned to my classmate, "Give me drink." From there, we evolved and we grew. We allowed Jesus' humanity to show through in what I thought was a really faithful reading of the text. He turned slowly to her. As she was honest with him, their rapport grew until finally they were fully facing one another, transformed and engaged. When we were done, I thought we had nailed it. So, I was a little surprised when the next day I received my grade and my comments, and it was an F. I had misread my professor and did not realize that for her, Jesus could be nothing but saccharine, syrupy, sweet, nice and polite, kind all of the time. He could not be a first century Jewish male, dismissive of a Samaritan woman. It's a thing that sticks with me, and I have to tell you, when I read this text, every time that I read this text, I hear, "Give me drink." And I hear Christ seeing fully this woman who came to him, who was honest about who she was, and him being transformed in her presence. I think that is what it means to come together in passionate worship. As we come into this place that we call Spirit of Joy, we have to start from a place of honesty about who we are and who God is. We know, you know, there is absolutely zero reason why you are worthy of sitting in those chairs and praising this God who made all that was and is and ever will be, except that God has given you grace. Accept that washed in the waters of baptism, you have been made clean, and accept that here again today and every day, you will come to this table and be welcomed fully for who you are in all honesty. That then, I think, allows us to speak the truth about ourselves and to hear God's truth about us, named and claimed, beloved, forever transformed. Each and every one of us stands before God bare. And so honest with ourselves and with one another, we can finally hear the deepest truths of God's grace. And we need to hear them. I need to hear them week in and week out. Because if I start with the honesty, I need God's truth to come in behind it. And it's that truth that sets me free to praise. I know I am sinner, unworthy of being before God, and yet God welcomes me fully and honestly, deeply in the truth that I am God's beloved. And so it's out of that truth that I am able to raise my voice, to make a joyful noise and a confident confession. It's only from there that I can come into this place and worship with each and every one of you. And that matters. Together with each and every one of you. See, the Samaritan woman, she experienced this exact cycle with Jesus. She came to him, engaged with him, experienced honesty and truth. You're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five. And it's from there that she was able to establish a relationship that went beyond Samaritan and Jewish, male and female. But instead, she was seen fully. And in being seen fully, her reaction was praise. I know the Messiah is to come. Could it be this one? But she didn't do it alone. She did it with her village, with the holy community that had gathered around her, even pushed her to the edge. That, sisters and brothers, is what passionate worship looks like. Us gathered together in community, being honest about who we are, clinging to the truth that God proclaims about each and every one of us, And from that truth, offering our praise. It doesn't have to do with a particular style of music or worship. It doesn't have to do with the number of readings that we put together on a Sunday or how we pray. We can worship passionately in any of a number of ways. If we do so from a point of honesty, trusting in a God who sets us free to praise and to pray. Amen.